This is God's word from the book of Colossians. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Our Father, we pray now as we look into your word that you would help us to understand it and believe it. To your glory, amen. If you've ever received a notice of debt, then you know the shock and the anxiety that it can bring. Maybe it was looking at a credit report and you realized you had an outstanding debt, or you realized that someone incurred a debt in your name. There's another kind of debt notice. It's like a court summons. You forget to pay a ticket and the fine, and then you get a notice in the mail and you open it up. Surprise. But how different it would be if you received a notice of debt and at the same time a statement saying it's canceled, saying it's set aside, it's taken care of. This is the gospel. The message of the gospel is that by the accomplishment of Jesus on the cross, our debt before God has been canceled, and it's been canceled by God. In this passage that we read from the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul is explaining to these first century Christians what it means to be a Christian, because someone is running around in the first century telling these people who have believed on Jesus that now they must live by certain external ascetic regulations and human traditions in order to be made right with God, or in order to pay off the debt. So in explaining what it means to be a Christian, Paul takes these people to the very heart of the gospel, which is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Specifically, he's explaining the role of the cross and the role of the resurrection of Jesus in making them Christians. And this is what he said. He said first that a Christian is someone who was dead but is now alive. A Christian is someone who was dead, spiritually speaking, dead to God, dead in relation to God. In our trespasses, our sin against God and his commands, and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, he says, which means our unclean nature, our life that is self-oriented and all that flows from that, he says, in this sinful state and because of these sinful deeds, we are spiritually dead. There's a very important word in the verse that we read. It's the word were. You who were dead in your trespasses. There's a great benefit in being reminded as a Christian of what we were, because remembering what we were gives an increased joy and gratitude and energy for what we now are. It's remembering what we were that helps us remember, more importantly, what now we are in Christ. You were dead in your trespasses. Then he says, you are now, by God, made alive. Made alive together with Christ. Christ rose from the dead, and all who have faith in Christ have a spiritual union with him that makes them now spiritually alive. That is, alive to God, alive in relation to God. And this is the role of the resurrection of Christ in our being Christians. We, by faith in what Christ has done, were dead, but now, in Christ, made alive to God. I'm going to come back to that on Sunday, Easter Sunday. The next thing Paul says about a Christian is that a Christian is someone who had a record of debt, but now has been forgiven. So this God who made us alive also has forgiven us of all our trespasses. Now we're seeing the place of the cross of Christ in making us Christians. The cross is how all of the trespasses, all of the sins are forgiven. The cross is the place, the text says, that the record of debt that stood against us was set aside. It says it was canceled. It says it was nailed to the cross. So in the same sentence about the cross of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, we're told that we had a debt and that this debt has been canceled. So what is the debt and how is the debt canceled? It says we have a record of debt against us. This is not, it's not like a loan repayment. He's not talking about someone who took out a mortgage on a home and is now paying a mortgage payment, the money, paying off the money they borrowed, and in the end, they're going to get the property. They're going to own it. It's not what he's talking about. On a human level, the kind of debt he's talking about refers to a list of crimes, a list of offenses, trespasses, he calls them, that puts a person under a sentence, puts a person in debt to the state under a sentence. That's the language he's using. So Paul takes this language from the day and uses it in relation to God to communicate the record of offenses against him and against his law that keeps piling up. This record is against us. We're not paying it off. We're not gaining any ground with God in our ability to pay off this debt. In fact, we're unable to do so. And this debt comes, he says, with legal demands. That is, the demand to keep, and also the demand that must be kept if we don't keep the demands. It is a record of debt that is a statement of our inability and our unwillingness to honor God as God, and then all of the legal consequences that follow. That's the record of debt against us that he's talking about. It is in relation to God. It is the list of our offenses. And everyone, really, if you think about it, has a sense of the debt. Everyone feels that something's wrong between them and God. And coming to this awareness, like opening the letter that says you owe a debt or you're summoned, coming to this awareness of our record of debt against us in relation to God leads to many different ways that people have to try to deal with it, to try to remove the sense of indebtedness. So one way to do it is to attempt to balance the record. One way to do it is to say, okay, here's the record against me. Let me create a record for me. And hopefully the record for me, my goodness, the good parts of me, good decisions, the good, orderly, respectable world that I've created for myself, hopefully it will outweigh the bad part or at least be equal to. And that's usually that kind of balancing out the record sheet is usually the result of just not seeing how deep the debt goes, not seeing how great the offense is. We think, if we think this way, that the debt is really just a few little missteps, just a few small oversights, not realizing that the record shows, as Romans 1 says, that we dishonor God, who created everything by trading his glory for the worship of self and the worship of the things that he has created, and we've traded it in so much that we're in debt to him, this list of offenses brings with it his wrath. How are we ever going to balance this thing out? We can't. Another way of dealing with this record of debt and the sense of it that we have is to simply try to change the nature of things, at least in our minds. We play mind games. So we say things like, well, God is not really a judge, and our sin is not really our fault. But then if we change the nature of things, what we're left with is Jesus on the cross for no good reason, for no purpose. I mean, why is Jesus even on the cross if righteousness and judgment and sin are not really big deals? It's not really a big issue. And one attempt to change the nature of things to deal with this sense of indebtedness that we have is simply to deny God completely. Recently, I was listening to an interview by one of the outspoken and most popular atheists of the day. And as I listened to him talk, I had this strong impression that he was simply trying to will away what made him uncomfortable. I had the sense that he was just trying to talk it away. Lots of language, lots of intellectual language, lots of arguments, lots of reasoning. And I just thought, you know, you're doing your best to just will it away. It's uncomfortable. I have a sense of it. I don't like it. If I can just talk it and talk, I'll talk it away. Another way that we deal with the record of debt against us and the sense of things not being right with God and us is to simply give up on the record ever being canceled and just do whatever we want to do. And that's kind of like the bank robber who says, I know I'm going to go to jail, so I might as well just keep robbing until they catch up with me. It's just, you know, sort of buying time. But here, in the gospel, we see that our record of debt against us has been dealt with by God. Our record of debt in relation to God has been dealt with by God himself. It says he canceled it. It says that he set it aside. Now, how did he do that? Well, he didn't do it by requiring us to balance it out. Some people think that. That's God's demand of us to balance out the record, to do as much or more good than we've done bad, and that way things will be okay. And that's not the way God canceled it. It's not the way he set it aside. He didn't cancel it or set it aside by changing the nature of things. He didn't redefine truth. He didn't say, well, the standard was here, and you didn't make it, so, okay, I'll lower it to here. Maybe you'll make, okay, I'll lower it to here. He doesn't change the nature of things. That's not how he sets it aside. Nor does he cancel or set it aside by simply ignoring it and looking the other way. No, what is the passage says that he canceled it and he set it aside by nailing it to the cross. That is, it's a vivid picture. It's an adequate expression of what God did with the record of our indebtedness. He nailed it to the cross with Jesus. He nailed our record of our sin to the cross with his son, Jesus. Jesus carried the record of our sin with him. He carried our debt with him to the cross. And in his death, Jesus paid the debt. He paid the debt penalty. The legal demand against us, which is the death sentence, Jesus paid it. It was nailed there with him. That's how it got canceled out. That's how it got set aside. So, like 1 Timothy says to us, there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself up as a ransom for all. It reminds us of, of Paul again in 2 Corinthians 5. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So here, Jesus is standing between God and us with our record of debt as his own. And then he pays off our record of debt in his death, therefore canceling it for us. Now, why did he do this? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Because he is merciful. Because he sees us in our inability to repay the debt. He sees that we have no resources to pay off this debt. And so he takes it as his own. And out of love and mercy, he paid it. Oh, the depths of the love of Christ for you and me. And when we are the ones of faith, like these Colossian believers were, when we believe in this message, when we receive this act of Jesus as our salvation, and we ask him for it, and we cry out for his mercy in faith, then our debt is canceled. What he did on the cross in canceling out the debt of sin becomes ours. It is applied to us. And the implications of that are profound. Everyone is trying to pay off the debt. And no one can. But when Jesus' debt payment is applied to our hearts by faith and becomes ours, the implications of this are profound. They're massive in the way in which we live. The implications of our debt being canceled because it was nailed to the cross with Jesus is that we are now free from a life of trying to cancel out the debt ourselves. We don't have to live trying to balance the record with our own self-righteousness anymore. We don't have to live wearying ourselves, wearing ourselves out to pay off the debt. We don't have to live playing the mind games any longer. We're free from playing the games of trying to change and shape the truth about God and sin and grace, because the truth no longer threatens us. When we hear that we are sinners, we're not threatened any longer. Because Jesus took that sin debt and with him nailed it to the cross. And so we're free not to have to reshape truth to get out from underneath that bad feeling. Because the gospel has set us free. We don't have to just give up and give in to sin. We don't have to live like, oh, the debt will never be paid. It's just too big. Why bother? Let's go and let's live for ourselves, which will destroy us in the end. The implication of having our record of debt nailed to the cross with Jesus is that we are free to rest. We are free to take a deep breath and rest in his grace and rest in the gospel and the good news, to rest knowing the debt has been canceled, to open up the envelope and see that the debt is so massive, we'll never, ever pay it. And there's that sense of panic. And then we keep reading the letter, and it says at the end of the letter, and this debt against you has been canceled because someone paid it for you. And you get to the end of the letter, and you go, oh, what good news. And we rest. And we're calm. And all self-condemnation goes away. And all the accusation that we bring against ourselves, and that feeling that you have when you wake up in the morning and you dread the day because you can't even explain it to your mind, but you feel it in your emotions. Something's not right today. That sense of condemnation, that sense of not measuring up, it's gone. It's gone. You kick it out. Why? Because the debt's paid. And there's no condemnation. And all reminders This is the implication of having your debt paid by Jesus nailed to the cross. All reminders of your sin are reasons to rejoice that Jesus paid for it. Reasons to rejoice in grace. It's the attitude of Martin Luther. He lived a long time ago. And this is what he said. He had this attitude. Accuse me of sin. Go ahead. List them all out. Oh, you forgot some. Let me give you more of my sins to add to your list against me. Because Jesus took them all. They're all nailed to the cross with him. And he was free. And the implication of having our record of debt against us nailed to the cross with Jesus is that we are now being free, are now energized. You know what a free person looks like. A free person runs. A free person has energy to pursue a life of overflowing love, of overflowing forgiveness. A life that is readily, joyfully canceling out the debt that others have towards you because your debt has been canceled. A life of forgiveness, a life of service. The final words of Jesus on the cross were, "It is finished." And that's what he meant. He meant, "I took the record of your debt on myself, and it's nailed with me here on this cross. It's paid. It's finished. So be glad. Be glad. Every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the blood of the Lamb. Be glad. Be glad. Be glad. To God be the glory."